there's no such thing as get rich quick. Please stop believing what you're seeing on the internet. All this stuff that pops up. Remember, something's being marketed to you.
Yes.
It's being marketed to you at the core existence of some of your greatest insecurity and lack. So there's no get rich quick. Mm-hmm. Like my bio, we were a $1 million company in 3 years. Those 3 years, I was working. I was like just working, getting doors slammed in my face. Nothing comes easy, right? Nothing comes without rejection. Mm-hmm. And just remember that. And I didn't have all that in front of me as much back in 2005. So we're coming up on 20 years. I don't know how that would have affected me. So just keep that in mind. Anything great takes a decade.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we got to speak with Matt Shoup. Matt is a Jesus follower, husband, father, serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, Spain aficionado, and Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Matt has spent the last 2 decades growing multiple companies and is passionate to make the world a better place. Matt shares insights from the jiu-jitsu mats and how they relate to leadership through his Gentle Art of Leadership program. Matt recently launched the book Painted Baby, connect with clients through brave and vulnerable storytelling. Get ready for valuable insights that can transform your approach to business and life. Matt, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here with you today.
Absolutely, man. I love talking with folks that have similar passion as mine. You're a husband and a father, and me too. I'm an author, speaker, and I love that you are into Brazilian jiu-jitsu or some kind of martial arts. That's something that I grew up fascinating about too. I was actually a kickboxer like long time ago. Never really got to go much further because I moved to the US and I couldn't find any kickboxing things or Jeet Kune Do, we call it. But okay. Anyways, I'm super excited for you to be here, man. Let's get right into it.
Let's do it. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. An honor. Yeah, just love sharing whatever stories I can to help people that are listening with life, leadership, business.
Amen, amen. Yeah. So starting off, let's take a walk down memory lane and rediscover your origin story, because I know the journey is long and we've all had to use different techniques, different skill set through that journey to really come up and really realize, hey, this is what I'm really good at. This is what I'm really passionate about. So let's go down that way. And what was something that really stood out for you that enabled you to get to where you are today?
Going back to childhood, I think it's always important that you reflect on your childhood, right? And the stories you glean from it. So I was really good as a kid at interrupting the teacher, talking out of turn, sharing stories, being really smart in the schoolwork, getting it done, and then causing trouble. So like I was labeled a troublemaker and I was just creative and my brain was going a million miles a minute. Yeah. I was told to sit down and shut up a lot and got kicked out of school a lot. We moved from the East Coast from New Jersey out to Northern Colorado. I'm 10 years old. And I vividly remember that summer. This is when compact discs were the rage. Everybody had the boom box, these $200 boom box players from Radio Shack. Mm-hmm. And I go up to my parents. I go, hey, Bobby's mom and dad bought him a boom box. Buy me a boom box. They're like, nope. If you want CDs and music and boom box and whatever you want to do, find a way to make your own money. I'm cutting their grass at the time, getting $4 a week allowance. So I said, I can do that. Like I can finish up my homework and then just go work and make money. They said, go do whatever you want. So I just started knocking on doors, right? Like gift to gab, finding ways to make money, and landed little lawn mowing accounts as a 10-year-old. And the goal that summer was to make a few hundred dollars. I did that like in 10 days and then found out like I'm really good at knocking doors, talking to people, asking for things. And I set a goal and accomplished it. And there was some recognition there and I felt good. So at that point, I'm like, hey, business is my thing. So that turned into snow shoveling. Then that turned into peddling candy out of the middle school locker. And I got suspended. I got like a 2 or 3 day in-school suspension back in, this is now middle school. Sure. And nobody ever took me under their wing to say, hey, this kid is an entrepreneur. And I didn't really get reignited with that passion again until my college days at Colorado State. But that was the origin story. All of the businesses, everything I'm doing today started with, hey, you want something? Here it is over here. You got to fill in that space with what you're good at, what the world needs, and do it a little bit differently and give it a shot.
No, that's really empowering because my son's been asking me, hey, I want to get this electric bike. I was like, okay. So I told him, go ride a bike every single day, the ones that you have, do 2 miles a day or whatever. And he did. And I was like, you did it for 30 days and then you stopped. So what is this to say if I were to get you an electric bike, that you're going to continue to do that? So I think the idea of telling him, hey, go mow the lawn, because he's 13 now, he can easily, we have a ride up lawnmower, easily go, hey, you guys need lawn mowing done. That could totally be something that he would be happy to do. So then he can fund his electric bike.
It's interesting because I have a 15-year-old son. He'll be 16 mm-hmm. next month. My daughter just turned 13. And they both wanted cell phones. And I said, hey, we're not, that their cell phone is what my boombox was back in the day. And I said, that's $1,000. If you want it, go make $1,000. And my son decided to work. He came to our office and we gave him hourly legitimate work to do. He got paid paycheck. My daughter loves baking and schmoozing people. So she started a little cookie business and she's selling cookies here at our jiu-jitsu gym and to neighbors and friends. And then they each made their goal and their money. They did it different ways though.
Nice.
And it was really cool to see as a dad.
No, that is so cool. I love that. So growing up, I don't know if I want to go down my story, but continuing on your path on how you gain leadership is because you were empowered by your parents. You're like, okay, you want to get something. Yeah. Here's how you do it. And I think there was a cool story where a kid was like, oh, dad, I want this really nice truck. And they're like, on his birthday, dad takes him to the garage. Like, all right, come on. He opens the garage door. There's a lawnmower. There's a gas can. And there's a weed eater. Here you go. With this, you can buy literally anything. And that's what you showed us in your story.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they would teach that more and encourage that more in schools. And I'm really conscious of it whenever I see a little kid. We had a kid here, middle school, he's 13 and he's getting in trouble at school. And he came to train jujitsu to learn some discipline and things like that. And I said, hey, what are you doing at school? He goes, I found this bike. I don't know. He bought a bike for $20, broke it down, sold it for parts. And he goes, yeah, I hustled up and I made $80. And has anybody ever talked to you about how cool that is? He's like,
yeah.
No, he was like, I usually get in trouble for stuff like that. And he's telling me about all these little hustles and the stuff he's doing. I'm like, that kid is an entrepreneur. And somebody's got to lean in and guide and direct somebody like that. For me, the school, my opinion of the school is they teach towards a certain demographic of becoming an employee. And I just wish I would have had some people take me under their wings sooner.
Man, that's really powerful. And through the storytelling and being brave through, hey, just sharing, hey, this is what I want to do. And this is what I saw do. And we're living in an era where literally anything is possible, right? People are selling t-shirts. They're out there making music. Social media is kicking back money to the creator economy. It's amazing the world that these kids are growing up in. They just have to see the value. And I've been honored and grateful enough to, or honored and grateful. I've had this opportunity to come to me to say, hey, can you teach entrepreneurship to our high school?
Yeah.
So now I'm teaching entrepreneurship and walking them through all of the different steps that they should be thinking about to these high school students. And they just finished, like literally every student finished all of their business plans on what they want to do based on the ideas that they themselves came up with. So it's
so
really
cool.
Fun seeing all of that. And wow.
And entrepreneurship too, there's the theory and the practice, right? So I had the opportunity in college, I was recruited by a college painting company. They're a national organization and they're like, hey, we're going to teach you about business and you're going to get training and classroom setting about marketing, sales, all of these things. And then you're going to go do it. So I think, especially with entrepreneurs, like you learn math, you learn trigonometry or calculus or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool, regurgitated for the test. Now what? Where is this actually applicable versus, hey, here's a business idea. 3 weeks later, you are marketing that to a client and there's money coming in to your bank, maybe from somebody 2,000 miles away because of the power of the internet. So cool. Yeah.
Man, I love that. So talk to me about how you got through, creating this book or launching the book, The Painted Baby, Connecting with Clients Through Brave and Vulnerable Storytelling.
Yeah, it's, I share that in business, we live in, this is business life. This is like everything that we participate in as people. We paint pictures of perfection, right? So we always step forward with our A+, 5-star, I call it the shiny marketing brochure. Here's why we're the best of the best. And it's just not true. Like, we're humans, we're imperfect. And painting a picture of perfection actually prevents true connection when it comes to deeply and richly connecting with another person in business or in family or in a relationship. And I see business and everything is just relationships between people where you serve each other. In business, it's measured with money. There's a product, there's a service. But Painted Baby actually stems from an event where I'm about 5-6 years deep into my painting business. I got fired from a bank in 2005, took my last $100. We turned that into $1 million company in 3 years. It was multimillion in 5. And I'm sitting here about to close the biggest sales deal of my life. It's 20 times the size of a normal paint job. It's $65,000. And I'm just giving the guy the A+ amazing presentation, all of the different closes and objection handles. And he's not signing the contract. And I've done business with him before. He's putting up this wall. And he says to me at one point, he picks up this brochure and he tosses it across his office. And he's like, this thing's crap, man. He goes, you're not going to give me a bad review. This is perfect. It's too perfect. Tell me about a time you screwed up and what you did about it. So I start going into the memory bank and I'm confused because nobody ever asks you this in business, right? Tell me about a time that home studio just like totally botched a podcast studio. You go out to this doctor you're about to visit and you know, something with the electrical, you burned his studio down, right? Well, that's a bad day for you.
That's a bad day.
Nah, you're showing why you're amazing. And I said, oh, cool. We painted the wrong color on a house once, not a big deal. So he didn't care about that. I said, we painted the right color on the wrong house once. We actually showed up and painted a house we weren't supposed to. And he leans in, he's like, you did what? And he was hooked. Like, he was grabbed by that drama of this moment where just as a human, I'm faced with some adversity and he wants to know about it. It's like train wreck over here. I want to see what's going on.
You want to go see it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I share the story about how this happened and I had mixed up. There was a drive in a court and there was the same address of two different homes. And I sent the guys to this home. We're supposed to be on this home.
Was it the exterior painting or interior painting?
Because we roll up and nobody's home. It's like a weekday. It's 9 a.m. Okay. The painters call me. They go, Matt, we're all done prepping this house. We scraped it, primed it, masked all the windows, trimmed the bushes and the trees. We sprayed primer all over. Everything's ready to paint. Where's the paint?
Yeah.
I said, the paint's on the porch. I always deliver it to the front of the house. And they're like, there's no paint. So I'm back and forth and calling the supplier. And I said, you know what? I'll just drive over to the house. I'm not too far away. Yeah. And I drive up to the house and I go, guys, what,
the paint is here.
Are you drunk? There's no prep. There's no anything. There's the paint's right here. I go, where are you? And they said, we're at 2724 Blue Sky. I said, yeah, me too. They're like, Blue Sky Court. I'm like, you're on the court? Supposed to be on the drive. And they go, you didn't tell us. So we just picked the first one we got to. But like in this engagement, my client is, he's intrigued.
Yeah.
And he's hooked and he's, what did you do? And he wants to dive a little bit deeper. He still didn't sign the contract. He goes, I feel like you've got a better story. And I said, well, fine. I told him about a time that on a job site, and this literally was the worst moment of our career in painting to that date, is we had a paint sprayer explode. Our painter's getting ready to spray a door with a little spray gun. And the paint sprayer jams and it explodes black semi-gloss paint all over him, the house, the landscape, everything you don't want to paint, including behind our painter is mama homeowner holding her 9-month-old baby.
Oh my God.
So we painted a baby. So I'm sitting in this sales engagement. And again, like he does
that's,
this.
That's,
you did what? And he's drinking coffee. Tell me more. Fills the coffee. What happened? So I'm reliving this experience of this. It could be a 1-star, a very negative thing.
Yeah.
And he says, what did you do about it? And I told him what we did about it, how we addressed it, recognized the severity of the issue, made sure people were okay. You dropped the ball. So you picked the ball up, hit a home run. And he goes, man, he said, Matt, give me that contract. I'm going to sign it. He sticks his hand out. You're the kind of guy I want to do business with. He shakes my hand and he says, in all of our other engagements, because we painted for him before, he said you would do this and this happened. There was no room. There was no gap for something to go wrong and you to have to step up to show what you're made of. And he said, you just showed me by being imperfect where your integrity stands when you had every opportunity to run, hide, deny, whatever.
Yeah.
So I leave that and I'm like, man, I just closed the biggest deal of my life by sharing kind of a train wreck story. So when I start this book, actually in 2015, it was initially a sales book. It was like, hey, share your business train wreck, get more business. But what I didn't realize through the 7-year journey of writing the book is that it's more about human connection and storytelling and how and where we connect as people. Like, I let my guard down. He sees that I'm human. He lets his guard down. We connect deeper level. And then we do business because there's that trust there. And then we actually took this photo, my daughter. We put her all over benches and bus stops and marketing and internet. And it was one of our biggest marketing campaigns. And we've just become associated with everybody's got a painted baby story in their life and their marriage and their relationships and in their business. Yeah.
Man, I love that. Love that story. And you get that book to read the rest of the story. Man, that's powerful. And that's how you make the connections. I don't even know if you need to do anything else. But
it's just, and when this was happening, this was 2011 that I closed this deal. And then I came back to my team. I go, guys, we landed this massive job. They're like, what clothes did you use? Did you use the either or the Benjamin Franklin clothes? Because we were all like hardcore sales guys. I go, no, I told them about Painted Baby over in Windsor. Do you remember that? They're like, you did what? And they didn't believe it. So we worked this process where we actually shared in there. And this was prior to just the crazy social media. Grab your phone, right? Just scroll through whatever social media platform you want to pick.
Yeah.
Perfect life, perfect wife, perfect vacation, perfect breakfast. Everything, if you do this quick, these quick three things, you'll have all the health, wealth. It's now everything takes hard work. And what you're showing isn't the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. There's a business gentleman that I follow and he's just always awesome and always 5-star and grew this massive company. And I'm scrolling through one of his social feeds the other day and he just started talking about, hey, I had a drinking problem. It got me in trouble. At an event, I got kicked out of the event. And I'm like, holy cow, this guy who's up here in this space that he's in, he's just taking it down to here's where I really screwed up. And I'm like, man, I got a lot more respect and admiration for that guy in that imperfection.
Now I'm trying to think about all the things that I've done wrong, right? Because we've all done wrong and you forget about it or you can't remember it or, oh crap, I screwed that up. And but it's what humanizes it. It's what people want to hear. Okay, how? And that's one of the reasons why when you're interviewing for a job, they're like, hey, when was the time where you totally screwed up? Because they want to see what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
So as you created, you landed the biggest deal of your company and you just went down and delivered an amazing service and product and whatnot. What's the next step? Like you took the company from $5 to what is that multi-million dollar, right? In 5 years.
Yeah. So the Painted Baby incident happened in 2008. So we are 4 years in the business.
4 years in the business. Okay.
2011 is where I closed this big deal. So I'm referring back to 3 years earlier, 2008, but to my client Bill. So at the time that I was hitting that wall, I'm like, we're getting business and things are good. And that's the issue, right? If you're doing great with sales, like, why would you change that? Why would you add that? If it's not broken, don't fix it. But it's just, when I discovered this, our close rate rose significantly. But yeah, back to origin story of M&D painting. When I graduated college, I worked 4 years with college painters, made a bunch of money, spent way more than I made. And I wasn't going to stay in the painting business. I jumped into the mortgage banking industry and it felt like school again. It felt like in school suspension every day, like being told what to do. I was not enjoying life. And I was plotting my escape. The new bank president calls me in one day. They had like a changing of the guard and the leadership. And they were just clearing out their P&L. They're like, who's this young Matt kid? And they told me, go get all your stuff, put it in a box. You're fired, kicked me out of the bank. And I'm standing there in Windsor, Colorado in a parking lot, 6 figures in debt, just got married. We just bought a house. Car loan, school loan, the whole list of stuff. And I'm like, man, I've got to go figure out a way to support my wife at the time.
Yeah.
And I have a 10-minute drive home and I have to have an answer. So I jump in the car. I flew the finger to the bank. I was a pissed young guy. And I called a couple painters that I had worked with during the college painting days. And I said, hey, what are you guys doing this summer? And they said, what happened? You get kicked out of the bank, you get fired. We knew that would happen. I go, yeah. They said, we knew that wouldn't last long. I said, give me like 30 or 45 days, guys. I'm going to line up the summer. So came home, it was lunchtime, and let Emily know what happened and that I got a permanent lunch break forever that day. And she's like, yeah, I believe in you. Go get it. So we launched the business and then worked just tirelessly those first 3 years. Mm. I knocked doors and then I hung out in the paint aisle at Home Depot.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I found that by accident. That's a fun story that we can dive into just in terms of where great marketing ideas can just pop up sometimes if you're open to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a very clear strategy on how to get business and just was churning and burning to get it going.
I love that. So it's really interesting to see your origin story and to see where you landed and how you're able to connect the stories. And obviously you've written a book, you've done some amazing things. I see another book back there. Is that another book that you wrote?
Yeah. So my first book, it's Become an Award-Winning Company. I wrote that in 2011.
Okay.
And it's a simple system and process to win small business awards. And it's for any size scope of business. And then how you take that and leverage it to get free marketing exposure, build your credibility, connect with people within your core market to grow the business. That was the first time I had ever written anything. So Painted Baby is way better than my first book. And I've learned so much about being an author through the journey.
Yeah.
And then I'm currently working on an illustrated children's book having to do with anti-bullying and how jujitsu plays a role in helping kids find their inner strength and voice.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm totally blown away. That was an amazing story, origin story. The support and the inspiration that you had from your parents, from working in that painting with your colleagues in college, that was the huge support network that enabled you to launch the company, right? You couldn't have done it alone.
No, you can, but it's going to be really lonely. It's not healthy. And I think this is just my story. And I have a podcast. I spend a lot of time. I interview a lot of entrepreneurs. And I've always had this, like I got bullied growing up, right? That's a big part of my story. So I'm like, I'm going to prove it to you and put my back up against the wall. I'll show you. You can bully me. You can beat me up, but I know how to make money. So when I was growing the business, I was doing it a lot out of anger, right? Like I had something to prove. I had something to show the world. And in doing that, I would isolate myself to a certain degree. And I had some mentors, but it took me a little bit to realize, hey, this guy's like, he's trying to help me. He's not giving me feedback about, I would get feedback from a guy. He's a carpet cleaner. And I'd run into him at a Starbucks coffee shop. He moved from Lebanon to the United States in the 80s and started a carpet cleaning business. His business was M&J. I'm M&E. So he's like, Matt, I got three phone calls about painting. And I go, I got three phone calls about carpet cleaning, because they would mix us up.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, you should try this with your marketing. The point is, he's trying to give me advice, elevate me, uplift me. And I'm like, why is this guy harassing? I got it figured out. So yeah, I was pretty arrogant, thought I knew everything. And when I realized that in the business community, like even painters, we're not competition. We are. No. There's enough to go around. Let's help each other. Let's serve each other. And that really shifted my perspective in business. And would tell a business owner a couple things. Find that person that's been there, done that, so you can go gain from their knowledge, learn from their mistakes. It's going to make your learning curve a lot smaller.
Yeah.
There's value in learning the hard way, though, too. There's just value in losing your own money a couple times. And then eliminate negative people, voices, information, news. You've got to create this bubble. And your world as an entrepreneur, to some degree, will get smaller sometimes. But as long as it's small with some of the right people there, you just need a couple. And then just a big believer in being aligned. Like my spouse, my wife, Emily, supported me from day one. Like we'd have our moments, we have our fights, but I got your back. I believe in you. And I think that is one of the core key traits of a successful entrepreneur is who you're married to. Because I know guys and gals where the spouse was not on board, not supportive, cutting each other out at the knees every day. And they now have no business, no marriage, no money. Right. Like, it's not good.
Yeah. No, you're so right. And it does get lonely sometimes because you can't find the right people. And then if you do find some people, they're always bitching about their business. They shouldn't be in business to begin. Or, yeah. Or are they, what was their thought? I'm sure you've met people like that too.
I was that. Another big shift is I had a real hard time. I wondered for so long why nobody wanted to work as hard as me and stay working with me and why everybody was leaving and what's their problem. And I didn't realize what a jerk I was. I was a poor leader. I was a prick, a jerk. I can say that to work for. And a coach called me out on that. He's, Matt, you're always complaining about the same thing that's happening. It doesn't matter who it is or right. where they came from. You're the common denominator. I'll call that denominator the problem. And he's like, you're the problem. So knock that off. Like, it's you. And he just hit me in the face with it. And yeah, so I have a nice filter for that. And yeah, sometimes you just got to complain. Like sometimes, yeah, somebody did you wrong. And, right. and that's true. But if everybody's doing you wrong all the time, you might start looking at yourself.
Or you wonder what I'm doing.
Yeah, or you have the world's worst luck and it's normally not that.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, this has been so much fun talking to you about your book, your philosophy, your origin story. It's all very relatable, very easy to listen to. We could be sitting here for hours listening to your stories, but I would recommend check out the Painted Baby book, Connect with Clients Through Brave and Vulnerable Storytelling. And we're going to take a quick break and we get back. Matt's going to share 3 hacks that you can implement in your business so that you can land that big client as well.
Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm or tap on the link in the show notes.
Guys, welcome back. We have been talking here on the podcast with Matt Shoup here, and such an amazing conversation. Like, I don't even see the time go because it's just literally flying. And Matt's got the amazing craft of being a really good storyteller. And that comes from a lot of work, a lot of conversations on sales calls, on podcasting, like you name it, like having written 2 books and working on this 3rd one, like that takes a lot of energy and a lot of focused skill work, right? So I'm really honored to have him here. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thanks for having me here and back after the break.
Sweet. All right. So we're going to jump into the 3 hacks to share, right? So you have 3 hacks for us. You've been a business owner for so many years.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a ton that you have floating around, but I'm sure there's 3 that our audience can implement in their lives so they can be better business people.
Yes. First hack is there's no such thing as get rich quick. Please stop believing what you're seeing on the internet, all this stuff that pops up. Remember, something's being marketed to you.
Yes.
It's being marketed to you at the core existence of some of your greatest insecurity and lack. So there's no get rich quick. Mm-hmm. Like my bio, we were $1 million company in 3 years. Those 3 years, I was working. I was like just working. I was getting doors slammed in my face. Nothing comes easy, right? Nothing comes without rejection. Mm-hmm. And just remember that. And I didn't have all that in front of me as much back in 2005. So we're coming up on 20 years. I don't know how that would have affected me. So just keep that in mind. Anything great takes a decade. So think in decades, not in days, weeks, and things. And then the other thing is that the world we live in is there's all these ideas and resources and programs that you could buy to generate business, increase business. Just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Who do you help? Where are those people? Go start a conversation with them. Be unique. Be you. Example, I was in Home Depot almost 20 years ago trying to find paint for a job. And this little old lady comes by and she goes, hey, can you reach that semi-gloss paint, that jar of semi-gloss paint right there? I said, oh, sure. I go, what are you painting? And I have my company shirt on. And she's, I'm going to paint some ceilings. I go, you probably don't want to paint semi-gloss paint on the ceilings. And she's, do you work here? She goes, do you work here? I said, no, I have a painting company. She goes, I don't want to paint it. How about you paint it? So I'm like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Just connected those dots.
Yeah.
So I hung out in the aisle a little bit longer, got some more leads. Then I would go buy a hot dog and a soda at the hot dog cart outside Home Depot. And I'd just come in and grab leads. So just keep it simple. Find one or two things that generate business, track it, measure it, and then schedule time to do it. Don't worry about the website. Don't worry about all of this stuff that can come later. Go find the model that gets you your first 5K, 10K, 50K, 100K. Scale that from there.
Yeah.
And then I already said it, but surround yourself with positive people, positive information, books, podcasts. There's so much. And fire negativity from your life, whether it's directly telling somebody, hey, I don't want to talk to you anymore, if you're direct, or just, hey, I'm going to make myself less available when that person calls or messages me to complain about how awful life is or how I shouldn't be running a business.
Yeah.
So those would be just three hacks right there. And I'm going to throw a fourth, get a mentor.
Get a mentor. Reach
out to somebody. I love when people reach out to me. Come have a coffee and sit down. It's a duty for me to repay that back to an up and coming business guy. When Marwan from Lebanon, M&J Carpet Cleaning, would sit me down and buy me coffee 20 years ago and just pour into me. He had there was no benefit to him for that. Yeah.
But he understood what it takes to run a business. Because I'm sure he had a business back in Lebanon, right? And now he's running the business here. And hey, if I can help one other person be better at business. And that's what we're doing, right? With these episodes, we're trying to highlight these stories to show what's possible and where you can find help, where you can find these positive mindset. Positivity is not just for the fake of, it's not for the sake of positivity. It's because this is what's required for your mind to keep working. We work in the daylight because we're getting the sunshine, and that's positivity. Anybody can be negative. Yeah.
And I'm not a doctor. I don't have letters after my name, but from the books I've read and the research I've done is that positivity, it changes your brain wiring and your focus, and your brain being more positive becomes more effective, and you start to see opportunities. It's that abundance versus scarcity. If you're just waiting for the rain to pour, it's going to pour at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. Align with that and get rid of anything else as much as you can.
I love that. Love that so much. Thank you so much, Matt, for this amazing conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I have too. Thank you.
All right, let's jump into our rapid fire questions that I love to ask my guests. Number one, exploring uncharted territories, name a hobby you've always wanted to dive into but haven't yet, and why?
Swimming, because I have a massive fear of the water. I almost drowned a couple times as a kid, so that's not so much a hobby, but more of just diving into uncomfort with something that's a skill I should have and be a lot better at.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I didn't drown really, but I've always... I can swim, but I don't know how to breathe into the water. I can go from one edge to the other edge, but as soon as I'm out of my breath, I'm like, where's the ground? Where's the ground?
Similar. Yeah. I can technically, physically swim, but then when I know the water's over my head and I get tired, I feel panic. Mm. And then I can't relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll both work on that together.
Let's do it.
Rewinding time, what childhood dream job did you aspire to, and how does it contrast with your current career?
I dreamed of being a professional baseball player. I remember growing up hitting baseballs, and I was a big fan of the Oakland A's, and played baseball one year, and I wasn't great at sports. So I think I decided at that point, and this is as I'm finding out I'm great at business. Mm-hmm. So it's just looking back. I didn't give it enough time. I was 10 years old. But it's totally different from what I'm doing right now. But I love what I'm doing right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
From screen to life, can you share a movie or TV show that entertains you and offers a lesson that resonates with your life or career journey?
I love, not a specific one, but any kind of documentary. I love documentaries of just seeing somebody's progression and story to where they are. I think it's really cool, or maybe impactful. You see somebody where they're at,
yeah,
and just hearing the story of what they went through to get there. I just think it's a really cool thing. And my kids are like, oh, there's dad watching a documentary. It bores the heck out of the rest of the course. Family. So that's my unplug. Go just sit down and watch a documentary.
Did you get a chance to watch Limitless with Chris Hemsworth?
No.
So it's a documentary on his life, and he basically takes on these different challenges because this is Thor, right? The Almighty. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool on how he like overcomes these phobias or fears that he have through the story or through each episode. It's pretty cool. It's almost like the thing Will Smith did when he was turning 50. I have these bucket list items that I want to do before I turn 50. And that was pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah.
All right, next up, imagining yourself on the silver screen, if you could embody a character from any movie, who would it be? And how does this character's journey mirror or contrast with your own?
Man, did you send this to me prior or is this the surprise question?
This is the surprise one.
Okay, because you totally surprised me. Oh, man, which character? How would that, my life's journey? Give me a second.
Sure, of
course. Can you give me a next question? And I'm going to swing back to it because you stumped me, man. That was a big surprise.
Yeah, this is a question that literally everybody stumps on. And they're like, huh. Or some people are like, oh, I want to be this person. I want to be that person and have that answer.
I got it. Because I just watched this with the kids. We were just joking with the family. I took my kiddos back. We watched The Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just my story, a lot of similarities of getting bullied, moving to a new place, finding your way. I didn't find martial arts and jujitsu till I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could pull that back to when I was 10, the skills that would have taught me to just find my voice and my strength and my confidence. And I leaned into a lot of good things, man. Like I got into drugs and alcohol and all kinds of stuff. We didn't talk about this, but like that story. Danielson, he's got his mentor overcoming that and finding his strength and then knowing, hey, I've got the tools and skills to use this and I don't have to, just having it as enough. So I would say Karate Kid.
I like that. And it goes to your fourth hack, right? Because you're finding a mentor that's helping you be a better version of yourself.
Yeah. And it's funny because in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like you're literally rolling around on the ground, looks like in pajamas with other men sweating on each other. It's weird, right? When you look at it and you try to choke another person out or crank their arm.
Yeah.
And all you need to do to get it to stop is just tap. And it's not quitting forever. It's just saying, hey, you got me here. Let's learn. Let's figure this out. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and do it again. And obviously I've had training partners for a long time, but every training partner, like it's another mentor. They're pouring into you. You're pouring into them. It's within just this adversity and this pressure. Teaches you a lot about life and leadership. So yeah, just been honored over the past, 16 years now I've been training.
That's amazing.
And now to teach kids, to give kids now something that I didn't have when I was a kid. Mm. Just love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Next up, navigating through the world of superheroes. Who's your favorite? And is there a particular trait they possess that you wish to embody or believe you already do in your professional life?
Yeah, I always loved the Superman movie and was totally attracted to that and resonate with that. Yeah. I think just being able to fly would be super cool. Like I would just love to be able to fly, but just all of the superpowers that he had.
Yes.
Stop the train. He's got his weakness, like any superhero. But it's that whole idea of I've got these strengths and these things, but I don't necessarily need to use them. I have the capacity to use them, but it just gives me that confidence and that stand. I think in business and anything you do, like being a father, like you have to be able to take that stand. And just because you have something doesn't you need to implement it or use it, but you got to know you have it and that you're capable.
You have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that confidence, you build that up in yourselves over time, being a business person too, right?
Yeah.
You might not have it in the beginning, but over time you build the self-confidence from our cheerleaders, from people that are around us, the masterminds and whatnot. They're like, oh my God, you got this. You're killing it. You're crushing it.
Yeah.
And you get that boost of confidence. Oh my God. Okay. All right. This is cool. And then you look back 3-4 years. And oh my God. I can't believe where I was 4 years ago and where I am today.
And I'd add two things too, because you talk about like the cheerleaders and the people around you that are uplifting you. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're great, you're great. Two of the biggest things that just suck is like knocking on doors, cold calling, getting told no.
Yeah.
Plus whatever else they want to tell you because you bothered them, right? For whatever reason. And just being able to keep coming back after that, like that kind of rejection. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu mats, like literally my first class, I'm 220 pounds of just meathead. I walk into this gym, I pick a fight with a teenager named mm-hmm. Timmy, and he just mops the floor with me, throws me around, God. Just getting like physically, and it was mentally, emotionally, everything humbled and shown like, dude, you got no idea what you just stepped into. Mm. And it's easy to walk away from that, right? That's where it's easy to give up. No, go back to that.
Go back.
And do that. Go do that 10,000 more times for a decade. Damn. That'll just build something. I would recommend any entrepreneur to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Love it. All right, last up.
It's my soapbox right there.
No, I love it, man. This is so soothing. Okay, this is my last call of the day, and I'm like, I need some positive uplifting. And Matt shows up to the gate. I'm like, oh my God, this is the best episode ever.
Let's do it. Love it. Thank you, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. If your career or personal journey was a board game, which one would it be and why?
I love Monopoly. That's just the first thing that comes to mind. I am super aggressive when it comes to Monopoly. Like I made my wife cry once when we were first married. We don't play Monopoly together anymore. But just that idea of just the journey, and you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. And sometimes I sit here with business and I'm like, this is just electronic Monopoly. Like we don't even tangibly touch.
We don't touch none of that.
The money anymore. So just business is serious. You have to provide for your family and your legacy and all of this stuff. But also remember, like to a certain degree, it's a game. It's just this game, and you can have resets, and it's have that dichotomy of business. Keep it in mind. It's serious, but it's also like just, it's a fun game too.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, thanks so much for your time, your energy, your wisdom, your positive uplifting these stories. This was absolutely a great time with you. And where can my audience reach you?
Yeah, mattschaup.com. Everything's on the website. And then anybody that is in the Denver area or Northern Colorado, Loveland area, we have a free Spanish coffee bar. Free to come by anytime. Come say hi.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. Thanks so much again. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you. So please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com. to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.